Good morning, church. It is great to see you this morning. We have a lot of folks that are visiting with us and guests who are here, and we want to say thank you for coming. You are honored guests. Know that you may be in town for the weekend or for the holiday, but we are especially glad that you have chosen to be here today, and we are thankful for your coming our way. We want to start, always like to start with a smile. And occasionally I slip a smile in that folks aren't anticipating. And man, just look at this good-looking couple. You know, what a blessing. And then these guys, another smile that's kind of from the throwback days. And so we just like to bring a few. And then this. Now, y'all know that CL is our resident Dave Ramsey guy. He teaches our financial peace class. And I love that t-shirt. It's when we want to go out to eat. Hey, we have food at home. And I thought that was pretty good. Very, very good. Congratulations. Hey, this is, I wanted to do two pictures of it because one is, this is on my mother-in-law's refrigerator. And this must be about the sixth or seventh year that I've taken this picture. Well, actually, they're two different pictures. You can see by the coloration of the photo. But I thought it was awesome as it ties into us growing into the new year. And normally we think about ways to have a great year, but this is a statement that says you want to be miserable in life? Here's 20 easy steps. Use I as often as possible. Always be sensitive to slights. Be jealous and envious. Think only of yourself. Talk only about yourself. Trust no one. Never forget a criticism. Always expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Listen greedily to what others say about you. Always look for faults in others. Do as little as possible for others. Shirk your duties if you can. Never forget a service that you may have rendered for someone. Sulk if people aren't grateful for your favors. Insist on consideration and respect. And demand agreement with your own views on everything. Always look for a good time. Love yourself first and be selfish at all times. And I thought, you know, doesn't that sound a whole lot like everything in the opposite of what Jesus has called us to be as His disciples? It's like Jesus calling us to be everything that you read there except in the opposite. This morning, I want us to think about one of the great gifts that I received way back in the day. Now, the little fellow on either side, that's my great nephew. I am officially a grunkle, and that's probably as good a nickname as we could have. And years ago, I can remember opening presents like this fella, and if I'm honest, I kind of feel like we favored just a little bit. I had this blonde mop of hair. And you know it's like, I mean, this look that just was just cute beyond just fabulous. And when you stuck a bow on my head, it was just wonderful. But I got it for Christmas one year, one of those Stretch Armstrongs. And some of you guys did too as well. Some of you were really moved emotionally with that song in the country music that sang about him just a few years ago, about being born in 1980-something, and there was Stretch Armstrong. But he, as hard as I would try, he would just go and go and go, and I couldn't tear him apart. I mean, it was the ultimate little boy gift. I think I eventually bit into Stretch Armstrong because I was not going to be defeated. It didn't taste good, but the thought that I had for us today is I want us to think about what it looks like when we're called to stretch. Tim used a word in the last stanza of that hymn where it talked about Jesus' hands stretched out on a tree. I think about the scripture as it talks about Jesus' back being stretched across and beaten. I think about Jesus stretching out His hand to touch the leper. And one of the things that comes to my mind anytime I come to that word stretch is the idea that it's usually not comfortable. John Gordon is a famous writer. He does a lot of motivational speaking. He does a lot of leadership training. And one of the things that I read several years ago is And you are as well as aware of this as I am, that people that do resolutions are typically done with resolutions by February 1st. You go to the gym, you'll notice that. I mean, the gym's hot time of the year is January 1 to about 15. Everybody is hardcore after their resolutions. And typically, if I ask you, hey, what were your resolutions last year? You probably couldn't come up with just a whole lot of them. But what Gordon said was, Gordon's challenge was, instead of coming up with a list, he said, every year, what if we just focused on one word? What if there was a single word that you chose to hold on to? You say, I know I need to work on this in my life. And there are a lot of things that channel into that one word, but what is your one word? We as a congregation have set forth that one word as the word disciple, to be disciples, people who are sincerely following and trying to be like Jesus and trying to help other people to be like Jesus and know what Jesus is like and how He has called us to follow Him. That's kind of our word. But as I think about individually, a word that kind of comes into my mind in a lot of different ways. As I get older, I realize I need to stretch. If I'm going to get out of bed very effectively, there's got to be some stretching happening. You know, I think about those things that from an athletic standpoint, we've got two NCAA Division I athletes in the audience this morning. At least two that I know of. Welcome, Gunner. And anyway, can I shoot? No. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? We have recently, Miss Walker, Caroline Walker was accepted to the Air Force Academy. And she, in her gymnastics world, is very much a stretching phenom. But baseball players, they stretch all the time. They're doing this thing. And any athletic person is into the world of stretching. We hope the building doesn't stretch. No, actually, we want it to stretch. We're trying to move and expand. But the reality is, if you are going to grow, you need to stretch. There has to be stretching, because stretching is the tension between where I am and where it is that I want to be. I'm not there yet, but I can see it. And if I'm going to be there, I've got to stretch in the middle time. And so as I think about this, my mind comes to a passage in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. And it's one I'm sure we have looked at together on many occasions, but I want to start here as one point of reference for us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, where Paul is writing, and he is talking about his own life. He's talking about things that he is challenging these early Christians in living a life that honors the Lord. And in verse 13, and or 11, 12, 13, 14, he comes to this great statement. In verse 11, verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and to participate in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and in so doing somehow to obtain the resurrection of the dead. We oftentimes want to know Christ, but do you hear that last part? And the power of His suffering. That there was hard things that came along with knowing what it was like to be a disciple of Jesus. There are difficult moments in knowing that space, that stretch. Listen to the stretch he calls us to. Not that I've already obtained it, or that I've already arrived at the goal. As long as you are living, I think your goal should constantly to be stretching, or as Paul will use in this word, to strain towards the finish. To strain towards the likeness of Jesus. I'm not there yet, but I'm not content with where I am. And I want to be more like Him. I'm not talking about contentment in the sense of I'm not content with the things or the stuff that I have. I'm talking about with I am not content with where I am in my proximity to the Lord's likeness. I'm constantly stretching in His direction. Paul says that, I've not already obtained this, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not want consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to win the goal to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, that word press on is this idea of pursuing or straining or literally to chase after. I like that image of a runner that is stretching out his chest toward the finish line so he could be the first one across that finish line. Paul gives us this beautiful illustration. It's an intense effort. It's a determination. You know, when I think about that, I can't help but think about this other Stretch Armstrong of sorts. Maybe you're familiar with this gold medalist, this Olympic phenom, Michael Phelps. One of the things that you might not know about Phelps is that for the 2,860 days leading up to his golden medal moments, every morning Phelps would stretch his 6'4" frame through a rigorous routine that would make most of us wince. He would arch his back until it felt like it might snap. He'd rotate his shoulders well beyond what seemed to be natural. And his coach, Bob Bowman, had this saying, if it doesn't hurt, you're probably not stretching enough. Here's what's fascinating. Phelps wasn't just stretching his muscles. He was stretching the possibilities of what could be achieved. Every morning's routine would increase his range of motion by fractions of an inch. And over time, those fractions of an inch had given to him a distinctive advantage. It would be just inches and fractions that he would win those gold medals through. Here's what it's saying for us, I think. Growth in Christ is not an easy task. We, over the last several weeks, have talked about a term called the spiritual disciplines. Anytime you hear the phrase discipline, or you think about a professional athlete or someone who is achieving great things in their athletic careers, it's probably because they have dedicated consistent time towards that discipline. The same thing is true in our calling to follow Christ. You see, we've been given a divine calling to stretch. We've read Philippians 3. I want you to think about this passage in Isaiah chapter 54. The scene is this. Isaiah is prophesying to God's people. And I know it's a stretch, but it uses the word, so I want to share it with you. You see, God's people have been they've been carried away into bondage, and they are in a depressed state. And Isaiah is calling them to a place where they have once been. And this is what Isaiah says to them in verse number 2. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. You see, they had forsaken God in their time as followers of Jehovah, and yet God is still calling them back. And part of that call to return were found in those four commands. Did you notice them? He said, I want you to enlarge. It's the picture of making more room for something. That's a biblical concept. He says, I want you to stretch. He says it's moving beyond the current boundaries that you find yourself in, Israel. It's almost as if the picture is of the tabernacle going back up again and then pulling and stretching out the wingspan and staking it down again. And you have the enlarging, making the room and stretching, pushing beyond the current boundaries and the lengthening, extending your reach. How do we lengthen or stretch and extend the reach of the Spring Meadows congregation in this community? How do you strengthen our stakes in this place, reinforcing the boundaries that we find here? You see, we're called to stretch. I think as we've talked about disciplines, one I would like to encourage you to do is taking a proverb every day of the month and reading through it. Hopefully, through this new year, some of you are setting up on your apps, on your iPhone, to have that every day, that there's a Bible reading app that you can read through the entire Bible in a year. Maybe you're going, that's too big. I want to just read through the New Testament books, or I want to start in the Proverbs and Psalms and then read back and forth. There are ways to do it 100 ways, but I want to challenge you to be in God's Word every day. One of those that I was given a long time ago is read a proverb a day. It's like a vitamin of life, a wisdom that you can't get anywhere else. And I thought about Proverbs chapter 3 as the wise man Solomon says these words: "Son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my command in your hearts, for they will prolong your life many years." There's that word, kind of. They will stretch out your life. Stupid dies earlier, okay? It's usually a consequence of a terrible decision, but when you are wise, it prolongs your life and it will bring you peace and prosperity. "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." You see, as you read through the book of Proverbs, God is stretching your understanding of what holy living looks like, of what it means to trust the Lord. You see, when we read through Scripture, we see stretching all around and through that. We're challenged to grow in our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about adding to your faith. He's talking about stretching it. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. And if you do these things, you will never fall. Isn't that an incredible thought? That Peter says, if we are constantly stretching ourselves in the direction of God's love and are adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness and brotherly kindness, if we keep adding, if we keep adding, keep stretching, that growth is going to find us one day in the presence of the one who died for us and the one whom we tried to be alike for the last however many years you've been following. You see, growing stretches us. It challenges us to be more in every area of our life in likeness of Jesus. We're challenged to stretch. But you know something? Not only does growing in knowledge and faith and love and all of those things stretch us, I think when we pray to the Father, it stretches us. On Sunday night in a week or so, maybe even this week, we're going to have a class about this idea of what is prayer as we stretch together towards heaven. And I think about Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul writes and says that God, what God is able to do is far beyond what our mind can even fathom. The last verse, to Him, at the end of this great prayer. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than all we ask or imagine. You see, what I see in that is when I'm praying, my mind is trying to imagine or stretch beyond what I have always thought to what God is really able and trying to do in my life and in the life of others. You see, prayer stretches us. But not only does prayer stretch us, I think about the trials that we face. The book of James, James, the brother of the Lord, writes these words when he says this. Verse 2 beginning, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all and without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all that they do. You see what James is saying, that if when we face trials, it is going to stretch us. We're going to be asking, God, help me to understand this. And God, give me wisdom to face the things that I'm facing. I think about trials that folks face, and we've been through challenges of life. And you think about how trials affect your prayer. It also stretches your faith in seeing the body of Christ come around you and love you and support you through those hard moments. It stretches us. It then motivates us to do that for other people in the future. Trials stretch us. I think when we step out into something that we are not familiar with, I think that it stretches us. You think about the Apostle Peter that night as Jesus bid him in Matthew 14 to step out of the boat. Come out to him on water. Peter had never done that before. He'd never even seen someone else do it. And he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And you know what he did? As he began to step out, his faith grew. It wasn't a perfect faith, and that's why I think we all love Peter so much. Because we realize, yeah, I've been right there where on one moment I feel like I'm standing on solid ground, on the next moment I'm falling off the front of the stage. You see, Peter demonstrates for us what it's like to step out, even when things are uncertain. For us, I think about it like this. What is there in your life that you haven't done before? That you're kind of sitting back in the comfort of the boat. And we're real comfortable in the boat, but we're watching Jesus working around us. And we're wondering how it is that he bids us to step out on the water to him. I wonder what that area of ministry might look like if you stepped out and began to pursue that. And begin to say, God, I've had this on my heart, and I know it doesn't come from myself. I feel like this is what you are asking me to do, and this is where I'm supposed to step out in service to you. I feel like this is what it is that I need to step out and start in speaking to this friend or inviting this person to study God's Word with me, to help them become a Christian. You see, when we step out, it's not easy. It's not comfortable, but what it does is it allows us to go to places where God is calling us, where God is longing to meet us, and God is excited about showing us what can happen when we stretch out just that little bit more. I think about folks that would come to Jesus and how they reached out to him in faith. Whether it's in Luke chapter 7 where the centurion's son is dying and he comes to Jesus and Jesus sees his faith stretching out and reaching towards him. And it brings about the healing of his son. I think about the woman who had been sick with the issue of blood for all of those years, and she's reaching out, just thinking, if I could just stretch far enough and touch the hem of his garment, I could be made well. I think about the blind man in Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, just not knowing how close he is, but having heard all about Jesus through his ears, he begins to cry out with the voice and the speech that he has, hoping, stretching out, hoping his voice will be heard by the one that could heal him. You see, when we stretch, we find the Lord. I think about Jesus serving and how it would stretch not only himself into a position of lowly servant. I think stretching not only serves, service not only stretches us, it also stretches the minds of those whom we serve. Why are you doing that? What is it about this teacher that I have that's different from all of the rest of the people in my school? What is it about this coworker and the way that they serve? And they don't have to do that. They don't have to go, why are they doing that in the ways that they treat people? You see, not only does stretching service stretch us to different spaces, it also stretches the minds and the thoughts of those whom we serve. You know, as I think about this, I think about the conclusion, the new year that's kind of upon us. A lot of folks are going to be stepping into different things that they're doing, exercising, and one of the things you always remember as you're getting ready to start something is, hey, you don't forget to stretch. You know, we got a long run today. Be sure you do this. Don't forget to stretch. And it's amazing to watch people that do this on the regular, and they're like, it's just different. But you can tell when a person starts stretching, it's way different than the person who's been stretching for a long time. Maybe you've been there, and you're like, well, I'm not very flexible. you kind of laugh at it, but my point in that is, it's really easy for me to look at Caroline the gymnast and go, I could never stretch like that. It's easy for me to look at Becca the runner and go, I could never stretch that way. And I couldn't today, and I couldn't maybe a year from now, and I probably couldn't even ever on some of those situations, but I could get closer to that every day. And I could become more and more flexible in the things that I'm doing, in the ways that I'm doing, and how I'm serving. And the thing that I want you to see is, you don't start running, as Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. You don't start running to not grow weary until you started walking in that direction. And you don't start walking without stretching. So my challenge to us is, as we step into this new year, think about the ways that God is wanting to stretch your faith. Think about the ways that God is wanting to stretch your prayer time with Him, to stretch your time in understanding in His Word and growing to know Him more and more. In the way of the stretch that you serve other people, in the stretch that you go out of your way to check on people, in the stretch that you go beyond, as Jesus would teach, when one bids you to go a mile, go with him too. You see, that second mile is always the home stretch. So don't be afraid to take that next step. My question and my thought this morning is, what is the stretch for you this morning? What is the stretch in your relationship with Christ this morning? What is it that you've been thinking, you know, I really do need to take care of that. I know this is missing in my life, and that I've never taken that step. I've never moved in that direction that far before. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable right here, but What is the Lord calling you to stretch to? Maybe it is that full commitment, that obedience to Christ in baptism where we're united with Him and we're washed, our sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe it's I've been wandering far from home and it's now time for me to stretch my broken heart and to come back. If there's any way we can help you, pray for you, be a blessing to you. Our elders will be in the back of the room. If we can help you in any way down front, we would be more than glad to welcome you home. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?